four games.
And Lindor blasts toward the deep right field. That goes Stowers at the wall. It's out of here. Francisco Lindor. Jose hammers one deep to left field. Back is Hayward. He's out of room. It's out of here. And the Guardians will play from in front. Acuna to right field. And deep. And gone. Ronald Acuna Jr. with a laser.
You are now listening to and watching the Baseball Aficionado podcast. Happy to be back with you once more. Of course, everybody out there, if you're watching on YouTube, hit the like, comment, subscribe. We love the interaction. It keeps everything going, keeps it flowing. Let's keep that conversation and that interaction going. Of course, follow me on the baseball, follow me on social media at the Baseball Aficionado, on TikTok, on Instagram, on Facebook, wherever you are. I can't speak today in the social media world, the whole thing. And of course, don't forget to check out Baseball Aficionado, the official merch line, obviously from yours truly. I got hats, got tees, hoodies, sweatshirts, all kinds of great merch inspired by Latino baseball culture and more. Check it out, bbaficionado.com, bbaficionado.com. Check it out. So without further ado, we have a couple of really interesting topics to get into. As some of you may see the headline, Puerto Rican baseball 2026 dead. We're going to get into that. And of course, the MLB season. Is it me? I'm sorry. Is it me, or has the MLB season been a snooze? Has it been boring? Let me know. We're going to talk about that. Why the MLB season has been boring. That'll be the first topic, of course, at hand. And of course, Dominicans, with their love-hate relationship with Albert Pujols. We've seen some of this during the World Baseball Classic as he was the manager of Team República Dominicana. But I've had a lot of interaction with Dominican baseball fans over the years. Do Dominicans hate Albert Pujols, or why is it that it seems that Dominican baseball fans don't appreciate Albert Pujols the way that they should? All that and more, obviously. But without further ado, let's get right into it. The first subject at hand. 2026 season. Has the 2026 baseball season been boring? I think it depends on who you ask. Now, while we've seen managers lose their job early, which has been, right? If we're talking about drama, right? We've had some of the drama when you're talking about the Mets being terrible, you know, some of that, the Astros being bad. You've had managers on the hot seat and lose their job. Obviously, Alex Cora lost his job early in the year, as well as former Phillies manager Rob Thompson lost their jobs. So there's been some of that drama. But when you think about it holistically, when you take a look at the baseball landscape, this season to me, and again, I'm removing my fandom from it, right? Because that's usually how I approach the Baseball Aficionado. Like the Baseball Aficionado platform, the the subject matter piece, or even the content piece, right? Just that, from that portion, I try to separate fandom from that, because it's one of those things that, yes, you know, while I am a Mets fan, it's not just about me being a Mets fan. So it's not just the fact that the Mets overall have struggled despite being pretty good lately, winning games and all that. But to me, it's like, it's been a very nondescript season. And I'll tell you what I mean. So for instance, when you take a look at some of the leaders in individual stats, right? So when you take a look at the leaders in stats, individual stats, hitting stats. Obviously, you see Aaron Judge is doing his thing. Kyle Schwarber is doing his thing, which is why if you're watching on YouTube, I have them on the thumbnail there, right? That's nothing new. Like, Aaron Judge is always, is one of the best, most consistent players in the game. Obviously, Kyle Schwarber is one of the better sluggers in the game, right? We know all that. But just watching, just seeing it, right? So we see in Major League Baseball, Kyle Schwarber leads the pack with 18 homers. Aaron Judge is right behind him, 16. Okay, that's nothing new. Then we look, let's see, at the RBI end. Then on the RBI end, you have Liam Hicks, the catcher. Liam Hicks from the Miami Marlins leads Major League Baseball in RBI, right? He leads Major League Baseball in RBI. Like, who would have thought that? Who had that on their bingo card going into the year? I mean, it's crazy. Let's take a look at whatever. Slugging, right? Mickey Moniak leads Major League Baseball in slugging. Right behind him is Ben Rice. And in third is Yordan Alvarez. I mean, like, what is... Like, this has been a crazy year when you think about, like... So I think, you know, it's a little strange, right? So when you take a look at also Otto, guys like Otto Lopez, Shane Langeliers having really good years, Ildemaro Vargas coming out of nowhere, you know, Troy Johnson having a pretty good year, Josh Jung having a good year. I mean, you know, obviously I mentioned Ben Rice. Jordan Walker is kind of coming into his own. There's a lot of Munetaka Murakami has bursted onto the scene in his rookie year, which, whatever. I never loved the idea of the players coming from Japan being eligible for rookie status, but that's another conversation for another day, right? Vamos a dejarlo ahí. Whatever. But just James Wood with 12 homers. I mean, let me look at RBIs. Jonathan Aranda's got 33 RBI. I mean, you know, Andy Pajes has kind of put together a nice first half so far. It's just been a year that you have a bunch of, I don't want to call them nobodies because that's not fair to them. You know, you got guys who are probably emerging. But, I mean, some of these guys will probably be one-year wonders too, right? You would think. But it's just very interesting to see. It's been a year of just a mishmash of guys putting up these performances. The Astros, as we mentioned, are down. The Red Sox are down. You take a look at the American League. There's a lot of mid to crappy teams. The National League, you could almost say the same thing. I mean, it's just, I don't know. Now, again, could it just be me? I don't know. Let me know, guys, what you think it is or what it could be. But in my opinion, in my humble opinion, I feel like, you know, there's a lot of mid. There's a lot of nondescript player performances, and a lot of teams are not playing up to par. And injuries. There's been a ton of injuries. You take a look at all the injuries and all the nonsense that's going on with on that front. It's kind of alarming when you take a look at that, right? It's like, what's going on with all these injuries? Like, all these guys hurt. I mean, you know, top that off with the fact that Fernando Tatis Jr. hasn't hit a home run yet. You know, it's just been a lot of superstars are having down years. You know, you look at Jose Ramirez is not having a good year. You're looking at Fernando Tatis, as I just mentioned, hasn't hit a homer yet. He's having a down year. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has not had the best year of his career to start, right? Relatively mid. Yordan Alvarez is killing it, as we know. But there's just been a lot of, I don't know, there's been a lot of underachieving players too this year. You know, Bo Bichette hasn't done well with the Mets. There's just been a lot of reasons for why I think that the MLB season has been boring to me, at least so far, early on. And another factor too that I want to bring up, and it may not be fair, you know, it may not be fair, right? When we're talking holistically, hold on, as I'm looking up some stats here. You know, Shohei Ohtani's not had a good year for his standards. He's not. That could be part of it too. If you take a look at Shohei Ohtani's stats, you know, he's not lighting up the world relative to what he can do. You know, definitely not. I mean, 7 homers, 17 RBI, 240 batting average. I mean, that's not very Shohei-like. And that's a surprise. You know, when you think about what Shohei usually does, that's pretty surprising. So these are all the factors, plus what I mentioned before, for why it hasn't been it's been an uneventful season. But hopefully it picks up at some point. So let me go to the next thing I wanted to mention because, you know, it's been a very, ¿cómo te digo? It's been a very interesting thing. So recently, legendary first baseman Albert Pujols, who we know managed Team República Dominicana in the last World Baseball Classic, right? That team that was star-studded, stacked team. I mean, a great, great, great team on paper, was stacked, was dominating. You know, they got eliminated earlier than they would have liked, but they, you know, they did well. They dominated. Well, that team, though, you know, you have Albert Pujols, who was the manager. There was a lot of criticism for Albert as a manager. And I've noticed also, though, that's not new. Like, I've noticed over the years, there's been, when it comes to, you know, La República Dominicana, when it comes to Dominican fans, they have their favorites. Like, there are certain players who it doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter if they use steroids or not. It doesn't matter some of their shortcomings, character flaws, whatever. Like, the Dominican Republic fans, los fanáticos dominicanos, ellos tienen ya su pelotero favorito y ya. Like, y ellos lo defiendan, like, that's it. Like, and I've noticed that, and y también they have those players who they don't connect with them, or they just don't give the adequate respect for. And to me, I've always noticed that Dominican fans have never really properly embraced or wrapped their arms around Albert Pujols. And I think there's a multitude of reasons for this. But it's fascinating to see the dynamic, because when you see, you know, Albert Pujols, who's making the rounds, he had an interview with this other platform, allá en la República Dominicana, where he talked about a lot of different things. I'm not going to mention the name of the platform because I'm not going to, you know, le voy a dar pauta. You know, but he mentioned a lot of different things, and just, you know, his perception of, you know, his career, all that stuff. And it made me think, like, hearing him speak and just reflecting on what he's done over his career, seeing how great of a player he was. You know, he's going to be eligible for the Hall of Fame in 2028. You know, that's around the corner. And so seeing that greatness of Albert Pujols, to me, I've said this and I don't shy away from this. You know, to me, Albert Pujols is the greatest Latino player of all time. I've said that. Like, I'm, you know, pound for pound, you know, you can make an argument for a lot of different players, obviously, as well, depending on what you're looking for, depending on the skill set, whatever. But for me, Albert Pujols, pound for pound, had the greatest career of any Latino player of all time. Albert Pujols is the greatest Latino player who's ever lived. That's, to me, that's my opinion. But whatever, I digress, right? But one of the things that I know for a fact is it seems that he's been underappreciated by a lot of the Dominican fans, and they've never, you know, Dominican fans, from my experience, I've seen they have this love affair with Manny Ramirez. You know, that I know a lot of Dominicans who tell you, you know, no, primo, el mejor bateador dominicano de todos los tiempos es Manny Ramirez. And I'm like, bro, and I understand Manny Ramirez in his time was one of the greats, but you got to understand, like, when you're looking at a guy who did it over a long period of time, who reached a certain level, you know, like what Albert did in his first 10 years. Like, when you guys realize, people criticize Albert, you know, for the way his career ended. Oh, but he wasn't the same. Oh, he left St. Louis to take the bag. Oh, pero he wasn't the same. Oh, he was getting injured a lot. Oh, but he didn't hit for average anymore. When you take a look at, despite all that, and you see a guy who finished with 3,000 hits, who hit 700 home runs, who's a three-time MVP. He could have easily won five if Barry Bonds didn't exist when he was in St. Louis, right? Coño, mano, es que me parece injusto. You know what I mean? Like, some things are just obvious. Like it doesn't take, and again, everybody has their favorite. To me, there's a difference between saying such and such is your favorite player and saying this is the best player or the greatest player, right? So, like, it's one thing for you to say, no, Pujols wasn't my favorite player, right? Él era medio seco. You know, he was very cut and dry. He didn't have that. Como dice los dominicanos, él no tenía ese tigueraje. So I get it. Like, Manny tenía ese piquete. Tenía ese piquete, tenía su flow. Manny tenía más tigueraje. So I guess maybe that makes, like, the common fan relate to him more. Manny was more relatable in that way. Whereas Albert always seemed a little more, like, more, I don't want to say sophisticated, but he was more educated. Maybe that made him less approachable or made him seem more, less relatable, right? I think that's what hurt Albert as far as popularity to the Dominicans. To the Americans and the masses, everybody knows who he was or who he is. You know, everybody knew who Albert was. But I think that Albert's personality didn't endear him to the Dominican fan the way a Pedro Martinez or a Manny Ramirez did. Alex, for some reason, is another one who, you know, who kind of had his little, people forget, you know, now everybody, oh yeah, Alex Rodriguez, el mejor. Pero a lot of people gave Alex a hard time too. People get caught up in the, you know, they forget. They love to erase history or the past, but people used to give Alex a hard time back in the day too for different reasons, right? It wasn't about steroids. They didn't care that he used steroids. That's the thing. Like, the Dominican fan doesn't care about the steroids. It's like it didn't happen. They honestly, I'm being honest. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but it's like, so the Dominican, you mentioned a guy, such and such, did steroids. It's like it goes over their head. Doesn't matter. They don't take that into consideration. I think, you know, and so with Alex, it was just kind of, it was a different type of dynamic. But con Albert is, I think there were certain character traits that made him less relatable maybe than maybe a Sammy Sosa or a Manny Ramirez, a Pedro Martinez, those guys, you know, who, Big Papi, who were probably more relatable to the general fan base. Maybe that's what it is. Let me know, guys, any Dominicans out there listening or watching on YouTube, etc. Tap in. Let me know. What is it about Albert that, if you don't, do you love Albert Pujols? Is he your favorite player? Or what is it about him that does not make him relatable to a lot of Dominican fans? Let me know. I'm curious to know your take. Pero at the end of the day, what he did is what he did. And to me, he's the greatest Latino player who's ever lived. He's for damn sure the greatest Dominican baseball player. I don't care what anybody says. Now, you could say Alex Rodriguez might have been the most talented. He had the most tools. I'll buy that. But the problem is that he used steroids for so long, according to him, by his own admission. How much of that is due to steroids? So to me, he's going to always have that what if or that asterisk. So for that, I got to say, when you got a guy like Albert, who was a complete ball player, great hitter, a leader, postseason performer, power, average, won gold gloves at the position at first base, you know, had no scandals while he played, nothing like that. To me, a guy who did that and did it clean through his whole career, didn't fail drug tests, there were no suspicions, nothing like that. To me, that guy always gets the nod ahead of, you know, anybody who was implicated with steroids or who failed drug tests. So that's just me. So let's get to this right here. Puerto Rico baseball dead in 2026. MLB. So I have to say this, right? So mind you, So I wake up this morning and, you know, what I always do is before posting anything on social media, before, you know, doing anything like that, I like to check. A mí me gusta chequear la noticia, las redes, wherever, right? To try to see, even sometimes the TV, whatever, early in the morning to kind of get the day started and figure out if there's any news, right? Any baseball news? Are there any topics? Are there any rumors? Is there anything brewing behind the scenes that I should know about, right? Baseball-wise. I always do that to kind of familiarize myself and figure out whatever, right? What's going on? Keep myself up to speed. Well, I go on. So, of course, while I'm scrolling on Google, I see Edwin Diaz. And I find out this whole thing with Edwin Diaz that made me say, man. And it just brought this whole thing to a head. It's like, it brought this idea to say, man, like, when you think about Puerto Rico baseball, Puerto Rican baseball in 2026, it's been such a terrible year. Like, that anything that could go wrong has gone wrong. Like, it has been a terrible year. Forget the fact that Puerto Rico does not have a lot of representation right now in the big league level. Fine, whatever. But whatever representation that Puerto Rico had, all of its best players are gone. Literally, like, they're all wiped out. Like, in a matter of weeks, they were just wiped out. You know, you had Edwin Diaz. Then you have Francisco Lindor, Carlos Correa, Javier Baez, Jose Berrios, all out, gone, with all different timetables. And actually, most of those guys are going to be out for the whole year, with the exception of maybe Edwin Diaz and Edwin Diaz and Lindor will come back at some point. We just don't know when, right? Months, probably months from now. Who knows, right? So I'm looking at that. And all the while, I'm thinking, okay, what else can go wrong? Well, it has been reported that Edwin Diaz has recently been linked by media reports to illegal cockfighting controversy in Puerto Rico. Now, when I saw that, my first reaction, I had two reactions. The first reaction was, what else can go wrong? That, like, we can't get a freaking break. Like, I mean, outside of Jose Feliciano buying the Padres, what Puerto Rican baseball news has there been? There's another story, but I will get to it in a minute, right? But I'm looking at this and I'm like, damn. And then the other thing that caught my attention was like illegal cockfighting in Puerto Rico. But I'm like, isn't cockfighting legal in Puerto Rico, right? I'm thinking about it. I'm like, isn't cockfighting legal in Puerto Rico? And then the other thought I had was, I know that they had been trying to make it illegal in Puerto Rico. So I go back and I do research. So I go back, I got to look around. What bill has been passed, right? Has there been a bill passed? What legislation? What is there a law, right? It turns out there is a law. So it turns out that cockfighting in Puerto Rico is in fact illegal. It's a federal offense. It is by federal law, it is illegal, right? And I went back, I saw this was brought down back in 2019. There was a federal ban, which was an amendment to the Federal Animal Welfare Act, which went into effect. It made it illegal to sponsor, participate in, or attend animal fighting events across all U.S. territories, including Puerto Rico. Now, what I know is this as well. I went back and I also looked up more information. There was local resistance to this. Local resistance, right? To this ban on cockfighting. Now, to understand this, you need to understand that cockfighting in Puerto Rico is a cultural thing. It's a cultural thing, and it's actually a big economic thing. Like, there were legitimate businesses, legal establishments that generated thousands upon thousands, if not, you know, maybe a million, you know, thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars in the economy of Puerto Rico, if not more, probably more, but I'm just being conservative with the guess, right? And so, whatever, Jennifer González Colón, who back then was not the governor yet, she was She was one of the, she had a government position, but she wasn't a governor yet. She went with the rest of the, you know, Puerto Rican government, and they, you know, went and they tried to appeal it. But back in 2021, the U.S. Supreme Court declined to even hear the case. And so that stayed like that. So on a technicality, cockfighting in Puerto Rico is in fact illegal. It's illegal. It surprised even me. It is illegal. Okay. Now we could talk about the morality. We could talk about the animal cruelty. We could talk about all those things. One thing that we know is this. Two things we know. Number one, it is illegal. And Edwin Diaz, if he was involved with this, is probably going to face some sort of penalty. We don't know what it is, but he's going to face some sort of penalty. That will be established at some point. And number two, what we know is that most likely these operations are still going on. Like, we're not idiots. Like, I know for a fact in Puerto Rico, this still happens. Like, this is not going to stop just because it's illegal, right? Puerto Rico is what it is. It's just now it's what happens is now it takes on an underground element, a criminal element. There are no regulations in place as far as to make it, I don't know how to word it correct, to make it less crooked, right? To de-incentivize criminal activity. So it's going to be, there's going to be a lot of stuff that's not on the up and up. The shady characters that operate in the underground, no tax. It's messed up, you know, and I'm not going to say that it should be legal. I'm not going to say that it's right to be illegal. But what I will say is this. What I will say is that the people of Puerto Rico didn't vote for this. They didn't agree on this for this. Right. So in essence, this was brought upon them, enforced upon the people of Puerto Rico just because it's a federal thing, because Puerto Rico is a colony. It's a territory. And essentially they said, here, you're going to do it. And that's it. And that I have a problem with. If it's one thing to say, okay, this is is immoral or even cruelty, fine. You want to bring that argument to the table, fine. Let the people of Puerto Rico decide. Let them decide what they want to do with that. If you would have had a real, to me, I think the people of Puerto Rico and even the other territories had a right in each jurisdiction to determine whether they wanted to legalize that or make it illegal. And go from there. That's me. So they did this essentially with no awareness. They did this without consulting, without any sort of a plebiscite, whatever the hell, you know what I'm saying, without a plebiscite, anything like that, right? And to me, that's wrong. That is wrong. And that should never happen. And whatever, right? To me, that's it's just not gonna, it's not right. But we'll see where that goes. We'll definitely monitor and follow that story closely. And we will post updates on social media or react to them as they come along. So in Puerto Rico, look, it's been a rough year with Puerto Rican baseball. I mean, you got me here looking at box scores of Darryl Nice, Elio Ramos, who else? Fernando Cruz, who I like, you know, I'm a big fan of, all those things. Carlos Cortez, shout out to Carlos Cortez. Carlos Cortez is having a very good year. He should be playing every day. Hopefully he does or continues to, having a nice, productive season. Pero, ¿qué pasa? There's not much out there. And Puerto Rico needs to produce more talent. I've said this ad nauseum. New talent needs to come. And speaking of new talent, the person who I have so many hopes in, the one glimmer of hope for this in an otherwise lost season for Puerto Rican baseball is warming my heart with what he's doing. Cincinnati Reds prospect, shortstop, Edwin Arroyo from Arecibo, Puerto Rico, switch hitter. It's about 5'11 or so, 5'11, 6 feet, give or take. Switch hitter, power, speed. This man has over 900 OPS. He's got nine home runs, right? He's got almost 30 RBI. This guy, and he's hitting 340 something. This guy is ready for the big time. So to me, I feel like no pressure, but there's pressure. Here's to you, Edwin Arroyo, 22-year-old switch hitting shortstop of the Cincinnati Reds organization. Here's to you, Edwin Arroyo. It's time to call up Edwin Arroyo. It is time. Edwin Arroyo is the future of Puerto Rican baseball. I'm not a scout, but I do a lot of research. I watch a lot of games. I read a lot of commentary. I look at a lot of film, a lot of video, and I believe in this kid. It is time for Edwin Arroyo to come up. The Reds got to bring him up. Give us something to watch. This kid is something for the Puerto Rican fan to get behind, and the future is now. Now, his position is shortstop, but he has been working out at third base. He's been working out at second base. And if you follow the Cincinnati Reds, who we know Eli De La Cruz is having a great year, he's their shortstop. But if we're keeping it 100, which I don't think they'll do the change now, if we're keeping it 100, Edwin Arroyo is a better defensive shortstop than Eli De La Cruz. I said it. I'm not saying he's a better player. I'm not saying he's going to be better than Eli. I didn't say that. But I'm talking about a shortstop. Edwin Arroyo is better than Eli De La Cruz with the glove. But for now, if you want to bring up Edwin Arroyo, put him at second base. Put him at third base. Give him a spot to play at. Eventually, he'll settle in. But if he really settles in, and dare I say, lights the world on fire, as he's been doing in AAA. And if Eli De La Cruz makes some mistakes with the glove, oh, how about we consider that move? How about we put Edwin Arroyo at shortstop and Eli De La Cruz, third base? Something to think about. I don't think it will happen this year, but you never know, in future could be a possibility. But let me know, guys, what do you think? Is it time to call up Edwin Arroyo? Is Puerto Rican baseball dead in 2026? I know I feel like it is, but you never know. We'll see. Maybe Elmer Rodriguez Cruz will come up. Maybe Eduardo Rivera will come up. Edwin Arroyo. Get some of these kids up there. Let them play. Let's get it going. Let's get some more Puerto Ricans in the majors. Let's go. Anyway. Let me know, guys, and also let me know what you think. What are your thoughts on what I said about Albert Pujols? And has this season been boring in your estimation? Has this been a very nonchalant, uneventful baseball season in 2026? Of course, all that. And thank you for listening and watching where you get your podcast, and on YouTube, of course, the whole thing. And as always, live life as if you're in a 3-2 count. Until next time. Oh. No. Wait, scratch that. Don't forget to follow me on social media, The Baseball Aficionado, on all platforms. And of course, shop the website, bbaficionado.com. Till next time.